I know what is, I will tell you that what is foremost on my mind, and this is, I'm going to get to this in a little bit, but what's foremost on my mind is the incredible pain personally I feel of knowing that there are people who are going to be alone this Pesach. There are going to be people, and people who I care about very much, and people who are often at my Shabbos table and my Yom Tov table, who are going to be alone for this Pesach. They're going to be alone for the Starim, they're going to be alone for meals. And that is heartbreaking. That is heartbreaking. And something all of us have to think about as to how to ameliorate and how to lessen the loneliness that so many are currently undergoing. But it is better to be lonely for one Pesach and live than to be together with all of your friends in Chas V'Shalom contract a virus that could kill you. It's very simple mathematics. Better to give up companionship and beautiful siddurim with a lot of people for one Pesach and live to see the next one than to go ahead and be flippant with the health standards that our community has taken upon ourselves and chas shalom to put yourself and others at risk. So can we get together with our children for the first Seder? No gatherings at all. I would tell you again, no gatherings. No gatherings. This is going to be a different kind of Pesach for all of us. I would urge people to limit their Pesach Sedarim to the people who live with you under your own roof. If they don't live with you, they should not be with you. No matter how close you are, no matter how much you love them, we all love our mishpacha. If they don't live with you, they shouldn't be with you. Again, are there exceptions to this rule? I am sure there are some exceptions, especially when it comes to the elderly, frail, and infirmed. But I would urge you then to ask. I think you have to ask a halachic shayla, and first you have to ask a medical shayla, and then a halachic shayla about that. But barring some acute health need, we urge families to be with your nuclear family, whoever you live with under the same roof. Those are the people you should spend Pesach with. I'll come back to that in just a moment. If a person is being cautious regarding foods and items handled by others due to being immunocompromised, what foods at the Seder is one most obligated to eat and partake in? So this is very interesting that here this person is asking, you're at a Seder and obviously assuming just with an immediate family group. So the question is, other people are there, even your immediate family. If a person is immunocompromised, I guess this individual wants to be careful with what it is that they're ingesting. So what does a person have to eat? What does a person have to eat versus ultimately, again, what could a person, I guess, forego? So remember, the only thing you have to eat at the Seder on a biblical level is matzah. That's what you have to eat. And maror and four cups. So that's what you have to eat at the Seder. So if a person wants to have portions of that that they prepare themselves, set aside so that no one else has contact with that, that of course is fine, but that's what you have to eat. And of course, again, because it's Yom Tiv, we have a seuda, we have a meal as well. But what you eat for that meal, how little or how much, that's up to every individual. The last question I have, which I think I mentioned it last week, but I'm going to mention it again because it came in again, is the question was, will the Rav be addressing what single people are to do and how to cope? And I just alluded to this before. And my friends, I'm saying to everyone who's on this, Baruch Hashem, we have close to, between YouTube and the Zoom chat, about 160 people. And I think it's important for all of us to know the following. You know, quarantine or home quarantine, and we're not in quarantine, but kind of being limited to home looks different for different people. If a person, Baruch Hashem, is privileged to have a family, okay, you're at home with your family, which, again, comes with its own set of challenges. But Baruch Hashem, what it doesn't come with is a sense of loneliness and isolation. But we have to be especially sensitive and attentive to the incredible neshamas within our community who are alone. And there are people who are alone. Remember, we just had our second Shabbos apart. Our second Shabbos apart. And it's a long Shabbos. This is not winter where Shabbos is over at 5 o'clock. Okay, it's a long Shabbos afternoon. And there are people who are alone day in and day out, alone. And Yom Tov's coming. And many of them may realistically be alone for the Starim. It behooves us as a community, and as there are other shuls represented on this call besides just our shul, but it behooves us as a community to figure out what we can do. So if you have a neighbor or you have a friend who you know is alone, Number one, during the week, pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. Pick up the phone and check in. Absolutely. Or stand on their lawn, right? Call them, let them come out to the porch, and you could say hello at a very safe social distance, right? To check in, a little bit of human contact. For Yom Tov, what I would suggest, and again, I'm still brainstorming in different ideas, maybe what some of us need to do is start our Sdarim just a little bit later. Start our Sdarim just a little bit later so that you could go ahead and maybe stand on someone's lawn and sing Halach Ma'an Yor Ma Nishtana, or just a wish a good Yom Tov, a little bit of human contact. Again, not entering into someone's home, not giving someone a Shalom Aleichem, not even stepping. Don't sit with them on their porch. You should not sit with them on their porch. But if they're standing on their front door and you're standing 20 feet away on the front lawn, that there's a little bit of human contact, it's an imperfect thing. But we have to try to do something. But what I would beg is don't have misplaced compassion that creates unnecessary contact that puts people at risk. You know, it's easy to say, I'm a rachamon, I want to be compassionate. So of course, how can I let this person be alone? I'm going to come to my house, we'll stay. You can't do that. This year, just this year, we can't do that. So we have to make daily phone calls, and we have to establish daily points of contact, and we have to figure out a way to have a safe level of FaceTime, right? And we have to figure out how to maintain social connections. I don't have an answer for how it is that we could have everybody partake in a Seder. I think what we have to do, I know what our show will be doing, is putting out some resources and some ideas for people who are going to be alone, for how to make this Seder something meaningful and impactful. And especially over a 3-day Yom Tov, so make sure to, in a safe way, check in on your neighbors and make sure they're okay and make sure that they know that you're thinking about them, even if you can't have a meal together. I wish I had a perfect answer for this situation, but this is a highly imperfect and incredibly difficult situation. So I don't have a good answer. I wish I had the answer to know what can we do to take away the loneliness that is being felt by so many, and is only going to become amplified as the loneliness grows longer, and especially over Yom Tov. Whoever heard of such a thing like this? What do we say at the beginning of the Seder? We say, Kol dichvin yeseh v'yechol, kol ditzrich yeseh v'yifsach. How do we begin the Lel HaSeder? We begin the Lel HaSeder by Soloveitchik writes, ultimately, by Hachnasas Orchim, by inviting people into our homes. That's the essence of freedom. Freedom doesn't mean what you could do for yourself. Freedom means what you could do for the other. But this year, we don't have the ability to do Hachnasas Orchim like we've done in past years. So we have to become creative. We have to become creative. And every day, I would urge everyone, make a list of people, not just your own family, you know, not just your own parents. Of course, you have to check in on your parents. That's kibbutz ava'im. But there are other people. All of us belong to different shuls. And in each of our shuls, there's an elderly population or a single population. Check in on them. A phone call, a text, a WhatsApp, whatever it is. Just a simple point of connection that people who are alone should know. You know, sometimes people who are alone think that they're alone and forgotten. And in these difficult days, we have to be able to say to the beloved men and women of our community, you might be isolated and alone, but you're not chas v'shalom forgotten. That is our obligation during these days. And I would urge each of us leading up to Yom Tov and on Yom Tov itself to do whatever we can to make everyone feel blanketed by communal love, even if we can't be together.